This week, we're heading to the second message in a series called Wisdom That Works, looking at some of God's mighty wisdom through the book of Proverbs. And we're going to be chatting this time round about trust, truth, and temptation. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Hey, God's wisdom is so powerful, but unless and until we apply it to our lives, well, it remains just a theory. But when we take it into our hearts and start living it radically, powerfully, it changes our lives. So as we share this time together today, I'm praying that God will pour His wisdom, wisdom that really works, into your heart by His Spirit and His Word. Welcome to the program again this week. And yes, we're continuing in a series that I've called Wisdom That Works. Now, wisdom's an amazing thing, a seductive concept. I mean, who doesn't want to have more wisdom? Who doesn't want to be wise? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Of course we all want wisdom. Of course we all want to be wise. But wisdom, well, it's a double-edged sword. Sure, it's about having the knowledge that comes from experience, but theory's not enough. Someone who knows that treating other people well and loving them and sacrificing for them, someone who knows that but spends most of their lives not doing it, well, we wouldn't call them wise, would we? In order for someone to be wise, they need to know it and do it. That's wisdom. And the sort of wisdom that God shares with us is the sort of wisdom that actually works. So we're spending some time again this week ransacking the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, written by King Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever walked the earth. And my encouragement to you is that we take this wisdom from God and actually apply it to our lives. Why? Because it works. Bottom line is that if we'll take God's wisdom to heart, if we'll take God's word to heart, it'll make a real difference in our lives. God will make that difference in our lives through His Spirit and through His word. And if we don't take it to heart, He won't. Can I say that again? If we don't, He won't. So let's get back into this great book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, and see what wisdom Solomon has for us about trusting and honoring God. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. He says, "My child, don't forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Don't let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Honor the Lord with your substance and with your first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My child, don't despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves the one whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights." So we're chugging along through life, stuff happens and we get impatient and we want to head off our own way. And here's Solomon with the wisdom of age telling his sons, "Guys, this is just going to happen. You'll want to drift away from God. You just will. But don't do that. Don't forget what I told you. Be loyal. Be faithful. I know it always won't make sense to you, but listen to me. Write these words on your hearts." So stuff's happening and life's not going the way we planned it and it's not making sense. And so we have a wisdom decision point here in that place. We can flap around. We can carry on. We can head off our own way. And most people do. Or we can say, "Hang on a minute, hang on. Remember what God told me through Solomon? That was wisdom that works. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight." You see how we have a decision to make? Either we can believe this stuff and take God at His word, or we treat it like some useless theory lesson. Here's the promise. Trust in God. Don't try and figure it all out, because you can't. Just acknowledge God in how we live our lives. And listen, here's the promise. Here's the dividend. Here's the return on investment. If you do that, God will straighten it all out. Listen to me. If we just honor God through the difficult times in what we say and what we think and what we do, God will straighten it all out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own insight, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Now, let me ask you, which bit of that don't we get? Why do we have to make everything so complicated? Are we going to be like those people I was telling you about the other week? Are we going to spend hours and hours and hours studying the Bible for studying's sake, as though it was some intellectual exercise, without ever really believing that it's meant to be true in our lives? Or are we going to take God at his word? Are we going to take God's wisdom to heart? See, he goes on to tell us what it means to honour God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll make straight your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Instead, fear God and turn away from evil. It'll be a healing to your flesh and a refreshment to your body. How often do people pierce themselves with many pains by turning away from God, by going and doing it their own way, by being proud, by being greedy, by being selfish? Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. In other words, put him first with all that you are and all that you have. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My child, don't despise God's discipline and get weary of his reproof. He loves you. He reproves the one whom he loves, as a father does the son in whom he delights. See, this is such simple wisdom. It is so simple. We want to go off and do it on our own and flap around and carry on and wander away from God, and then we wonder why it's all falling apart. This is about trusting God and honoring him. And the two go hand in hand. See, I absolutely love how practical God's truth actually is. And when we just simply put this into practice in the everyday things that happen in life, in the tense relationships, in just forgiving people, in moving on, in honouring God, in blessing other people when they curse us, in the simple things of life, they might be simple, but often they're difficult. If we will just put this into action in our lives, when we choose to stop mucking around, flapping around, complaining, doing the woe is me bit, and just sit down and decide, God, come hell or high water, I am going to trust in you. I'm just going to do the best I know how. I'm going to honour you the best I can with what I have and who I am. Do you know what happens? God honours that. God springs into action. He starts sorting out the mess. My friend, this is not, let me say this in capital letters, N-O-T, not. This is not a theory lesson. God's wisdom is imparted into our lives when we take his truth into our hearts and live it out. Don't forget his teaching. Let your heart keep his commandments, because there's a blessing at the end of that. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favour and good repute in the sight of God. As you sow, so shall you reap. Do it God's way and you reap the blessing. Do it your own way and you reap the pain. This is not complex. This is not rocket science. I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. Trust and honour go hand in hand. Amazing how obvious God's wisdom becomes, so obvious, when we just stop and listen to him. That's what our latest life application booklet here at Christianity Works is all about. It's called Wisdom That Works, and right now, I'd love to send you your very own free copy of this e-booklet. You can request yours online at christianityworks.com. You'll see that free offer up there at the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and you'll receive the link to the e-booklet in just seconds. And while you're there, don't forget to check out Christianity Works TV. You can watch this week's message online. You'll see it right there on the homepage, together with so many other free resources. Because here at Christianity Works, we're passionate about seeing your life transformed as the Holy Spirit takes God's word, writes it onto your heart, and lead you into an intimate, powerful, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do. So again, that life application booklet is called Wisdom That Works, and you can request your free copy right now at christianityworks.com. Now, wealth is something that I talk quite a bit about on this program, and it's because so many people go looking for wealth in the wrong places. People talk about true wealth, whatever that is. What is it? Where do you get it? And is it really worth having? Now, the next thing that Solomon talks about in the book of Proverbs is money and wealth. Now, a man that I've come to have a lot of respect for is a guy by the name of David Busseau. For a good many years, we've attended the same church as David and his wife, Carol. He's the founder of a ministry called Opportunity International, an organisation that now creates a new job in the developing world, something like every 20 seconds or something outrageous like that. I heard David one day talking about the economics of enough. Now, he lives in a comfortable home, and they constantly have people staying who are visiting for ministry reasons. He drives an ordinary car, dresses in ordinary everyday clothes. And he said he came to the conclusion many years ago that he had more than enough stuff. He just didn't need any more. It was the economics of enough. Remember, we're talking this week and over the next few weeks about God's wisdom, wisdom that works. And we're doing that by taking a step through some of the powerful wisdom that we discover in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, which was written by King Solomon to capture the wisdom that he was handing down to his sons. And not surprisingly, fairly early on in the piece, he talks about money. Not so much money, but wealth. Have a listen to what he says. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. He says, "Happy are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding. For her income is better than silver and her revenue better than gold. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy." Now, there is a time in my life, in fact, for much of my life, where I would have scoffed at this suggestion. Oh, give me a break, please. How can wisdom possibly be better than silver or gold and precious jewels? How can wisdom be better than anything that my little heart desires? No, I'll just have the cash, thanks. Show me the money. And for all that to make sense, there are two things we need to know about Solomon. Not only was he blessed with great wisdom, he was one of the wisest men that ever lived, but he was also one of the richest men in all of history. And it all comes to Solomon when he prays to God. Have a listen as a young man. It comes from 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, right through to verse 13. So grab your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I should give you.' And Solomon said, 'You've shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I'm only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this your great people?' It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, 'Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked for, both riches and honour all the days of your life. No other king shall compare with you.'" Right from the beginning, as a young man, Solomon had preferred wisdom over riches. So he asked God for wisdom. What a brilliant thing to ask for. I wonder what you and I might have asked for had God said to us, "Ask what I should give you." So all his adult life, Solomon had both great wisdom and great riches. And having lived his life with both, out of his experience, he's able to say to his sons, "Wisdom is so much better than anything else than you can imagine." Why? Why did he say that? Because the dividend, the return that this wisdom gave him, was huge. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. You know, that's a dividend statement that Solomon makes after a life of wisdom. As much as we try and kid ourselves, We know through experience, we know deep in our hearts that riches can never deliver that sort of dividend. We chase after money alone, and it's a lonely, unhappy life. Believe you me, I've been there, I've done that, got the T-shirt, and I can tell you absolutely that wealth simply doesn't deliver that sort of dividend, a dividend of riches and peace and pleasantness and joy and happiness. Wisdom means that we learn God's truth and we put it into action in our lives, even though sometimes, most times, it involves sacrifice up front, like any other investment. We live out God's truth in our lives. That's what wisdom is. And we reap the rewards. Peace, life, joy. Why? Because we know how to avoid the dumb things we used to do that caused us so much pain. Because we know how to make good choices that bear good fruit. True wealth is living a life of abundance in Christ. True wealth is having the wisdom to build strong relationships and enjoy serving others and getting over our pride and our stupid tantrums. Wisdom is about ultimately enjoying life, whatever life throws our way. Friend, this is such great advice, but it only becomes true wisdom in our lives when we put it into action. And the thing to put into action here is to seek after wisdom above and before riches, because nothing compares to the dividends paid by wisdom, God's wisdom, the sort of wisdom that works. I'm Bernie Dimet, and we'll get back to today's Christianity Works message in just a moment. As I said earlier, wealth is something I guess I talk a bit about, because so many people go looking for wealth in the wrong places. Isn't God's wisdom just, awesome? It rings so true, because it is. It's wisdom that works. In fact, that's what the latest life application booklet I mentioned earlier is called, Wisdom That Works. And right now, this life application booklet is available as my free gift to you. To request yours, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com and you'll see that free offer right there, front and center on the homepage. And while you're there, don't forget there are so many other free resources. You can watch today's message on Christianity Works TV. Again, you'll see this week's TV episode right there on the homepage. Or dive into the Media Lounge, where there are literally thousands of messages conveniently categorized so that you can find exactly the teaching that you need for what you're traveling through today. It's all about sharing the powerful, life-changing Word of God with you to see you living in the victory that Jesus died and rose again to give you. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. And remember, I'd love to get that free e-booklet, Wisdom That Works, straight out to you. Now, here's a statistic that will rock your socks off. Almost half of all married men and just over a third of married women will have at least one extramarital affair during their marriage. That's a devastating statistic. And just because someone happens to be a Christian, it doesn't mean that we're immune. I remember back at college, one of our lecturers in a subject about, I guess, the foundational issues of Christian living, said to each one of us who were training for some form of ministry or another, he said, there are three things that can bring you unstuck. Girls, gold, and glory. Or in the case of women, guys, gold, and glory. In other words, people whom God calls to serve him often stumble in infidelity, or because they start loving wealth too much, we spoke about that last week, or because they seek the glory and they fall to pride. It's not a bad executive summary, is it? Girls or guys, as the case may be, gold and glory. Well, as we roll on to the next piece of wisdom from Solomon in the book of Proverbs, we're going to chat a bit about the girls-guys thing, or impurity and infidelity, because it's huge. Statistically, almost half of all marriages fall apart. And in fact, of those that remain, only a fraction are what you'd call happy marriages, the sorts of marriages where people really thrive. The facts about marital infidelity, sexual unfaithfulness to a spouse, are astounding. Polls in the US show that although 90% of married people disapprove of extramarital affairs, 15% of wives and 25% of husbands have experienced extramarital sex. Now, those numbers increase a further 20% when emotional affairs and sexual relationships without intercourse are included. So 35% of women and 45% of men have been unfaithful to their spouse. That's frightening, isn't it? Marriage is supposed to be the most wonderful relationship, fulfilling lifelong soulmates. And yet almost half of all men and over a third of all women have some sort of extramarital affair. That blows me away. But it's nothing new. Almost 3,000 years ago, Solomon, when instructing his young sons with the wisdom of his years, spends a whole chapter, in fact a couple of chapters, the fifth chapter and another chapter, in the book of Proverbs on this very subject. It's one of the first subjects he deals with comprehensively. Maybe the stats were pretty much the same back then as they are today. Let's have a listen to what he had to say to his sons about infidelity. Proverbs chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. My child, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, so that you may hold on to prudence and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a loose woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not keep straight the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. In other words, the grass may well appear greener on the other side, guys, but this seduction that promises so much is gonna kill you. Even though the thought of an affair may be oh so seductive, oh so tempting, it leads only to bitterness, pain, and destruction. I remember a man I used to work with back in my days in the IT industry, and he had two affairs outside his marriage. Two that I know of, anyway. I knew the husband and the wife quite well. He was lured into this trap. He followed his desires and his emotions, and it almost destroyed both of them. By God's grace, his wife was a godly woman and strong and with great faith, and their marriage weathered the storm. But the pain, and of course, as much as all may be forgiven, the memory never, ever, ever goes away. And the crazy thing was, they had everything. And here's the advice that Solomon has for his sons. Here's the wisdom that really works. Proverbs 5, beginning verse 7. And now, my child, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your ways far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, and strangers will take their fill of your wealth, and your labors will go to the house of another. And at the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are consumed and say, oh, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I didn't listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. Now I am at the point of utter ruin in the public assembly. The advice? The wisdom that works? Keep away from relationships that can lead to infidelity. My child, listen to me. Keep away from her doors. Don't go there. Don't put yourself in a position of temptation. Don't spend time alone with members of the opposite sex. Don't form close bonds and relationships that could head in the wrong direction. Keep yourself to yourself. Just don't go there, or it'll ruin you and you will spend the rest of your life regretting it. And the alternative? Well, it's pretty obvious. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for sharing with strangers. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. May her breast satisfy you at all times. May you be intoxicated always by her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, by another woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For human ways are under the eyes of the Lord, and he examines all their paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare them, and they are caught in the toils of their sin. They die for a lack of discipline, and because of their great folly, they are lost. My friend, if you have a wife, enjoy her. If you have a husband, if you're a woman with a husband, enjoy him. Do not be enticed into an extramarital affair, like almost half of all men and over a third of all women who are married are. Enjoy each other. God has given the wife to the husband and the husband to the wife so that they may truly enjoy each other emotionally and physically and spiritually and be the best of friends and live their lives together for one another. Find fulfillment, husbands, in the arms of your wives. Wives, find fulfillment in the arms of your husbands. Sure, they're not perfect. Let's get a revelation here today. They never will be, ever. But they are the lifelong soulmate that God has given you. And that is the right place, the only place in God's eyes to discover and to experience and to enjoy and to revel in the beauty of intimacy. Remember, 45% of men, 35% of women, Now, you may think this is an odd subject for us to be discussing today, but judging from the statistics, Solomon was right to make this one a high priority. My prayer is that you will never, never know the pain and the bitter regret of adultery. Please listen to God's word today. Please heed his warning. This is God's wisdom. It is wisdom that works. That you've just been listening to is heard not just here on your station, but through over 1,350 stations in 160 countries. And yet we face so much spiritual opposition in so many places because, frankly, our enemy, the devil, does not want millions of people each week hearing about Jesus. So can I ask you a huge favour? Would you pray with me that God would open many, many more doors around the world for us to share the stunningly good news of Jesus Christ with the lost? Because our heart, his heart, is to reach the unreached with his love. And if you're serious about praying with me, you can check out this month's prayer points at ChristianityWorks.com. While you're there, don't forget there's a treasure trove of resources in the Media Lounge, conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. Topics like marriage and family, relationships, adversity, and lots, lots more. And of course, that free life application booklet I mentioned earlier, Wisdom That Works. God's Word is so powerful, so check out that Media Lounge at ChristianityWorks.com. I want to see your life transformed as you receive God's Word into your heart. Hey, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again soon, right here on Christianity Works, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.